The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Tommy, and you're listening to Tea and Waffles, A Guide to 2021, powered by Transmission Roundhouse, the podcast series focused on tackling issues faced by young people and guiding you through this messy COVID period. In this new season, I've lined up six more topics and some incredible guests to discuss them with to guide you as we adapt to the new normal. Change, adjustments, transition, diversion. Each word describing the process of a difference being made or modifications of the current state of affairs. If you've been with me on any part of this COVID-centric podcast journey, you would have heard me documenting aspects of the seemingly endless twists and turns this year has provided for people, akin to an episode from the popular Netflix series Black Mirror. We've had it all this year. New Year's resolutions adjusted, holiday cancellations, less time spent with family and friends, relocation of normal operation at work or school, and not to mention bad behaving ministers. All different and unexpected events, well, maybe not the last one, but all nonetheless linked with the connecting theme of change. Despite all the change that was made by forces outside of our control, the constant source of joy I found during this experience was the amount of people influencing change and initiating the conversation between people within their own communities on anything and everything from race, gender, to mental health, just to name a few. In a time where the world stood still, young people charged on ahead, uncertain yet utterly fearless. Now you've heard me harp on about change, you're probably wondering why it's even remotely relevant to my life. Well, that reminds me of Newton's famous laws of motion. You know, Newton, the guy who sat underneath a tree and an apple fell on his head, and he discovered gravity, or the story goes. His third law says that there is no action without an equal and opposite reaction. Well, I hope the conversation and topics discussed throughout this episode and previous weeks have impacted change in you. And the season finale, where I'm joined with my friend Katie Thompson, a counsellor from Waltham Forest, as we discuss the impact of social change, can act as a starting point for you if you want to go on and create social change.
I think young people can definitely impact social change because I think as young people, we have a unique perspective and unique experiences of life that adults won't necessarily have. And I think there's loads of examples of how young people can come together and really build on community spirit and push for change that other generations aren't always pushing for. And I think, you know, in the society, I think you have to listen to all its members. So I think that young people's opinions on issues should definitely always be considered because they might think of something that hasn't been thought of. And as people who are going to inherit like this future world we're building, their perspectives are really important in conversations about how we should build that world.
Good morning, good evening, salutations people. You are tuning in for an episode of Tea and Waffles, A Guide to 2021, powered by Transmission Roundhouse. And I'm joined here with Katie Thompson from Waltham Forest. She is the lead for Street Base, a peer-to-peer engagement program operating within her local area of Waltham Forest. Today we're going to be talking about social change and how it is influenced. But before we go into that, I'm going to pass over to Katie and she can tell you all about herself and what she's all about.
Thank you, Tommy. As introduced, I'm Katie, prefer to be called Kay. I'm the coordinator for Street Base in Waltham Forest. I have been so since 2019, which is when Street Base started up in Waltham Forest, although it's originally from Southwark. So they started it in 2010 under the Young Vices charity. So then we trademarked it as well and brought it over to Waltham Forest. Although it's come to a close, well, the funding, so funded by Sadiq Khan, Mayor of London, under the Young Londoners Fund, the funding comes to a close in December. However, because of its uniqueness, our borough of Waltham Forest want to keep it somehow, some way. That's that.
amazing. So I think just for a little bit of context, is it possible if you could tell the viewers just a little bit about Street Base?
Yeah, so it was created by the Young Advisors in Southwark. So Young Advisors are young people, in Southwark and Waltham Forest set up the same. So we sit under the councils, so Southwark Council, Waltham Forest Council. And Young Advisors are basically like proactive within the community and they act as the voices for young people in their local area. And I believe in Southwark, they found a gap that you hear it everywhere, okay? You walk up to any young person, 10, 11 to 26, however old they are, and you ask them, oh, why are you chilling there? Why are you always at this park? Or why are you just sitting outside your house? And they'll be like, oh, there's nothing to do, man. I don't have anywhere to go and all that. That's how they sound most of the time as well. And it sounds like you're asking them. So
this is paraphrasing.
Literally. That's what it is. And they literally sound fed up of everyone asking them the same question. More often than not, we find that there are things to do in a borough, they're just not being told about it down the right channels. So for example, they might come to like organizations or individuals who come to schools for the assembly in the morning. If you're a late person, if you're kicked out of school, or you don't go to a standard like public school, you might go to a pupil referral unit, you're not going to hear those assemblies, you're not going to have the same opportunity as someone that's in every day from the AMs that hasn't been excluded once. So we thought we might bring that information to them. So what Street Base does, we're a team of young people. Naturally, young people just relate with other young people better, especially from the area, because we know best where young people chill out and what it is that we want, essentially. I'm speaking about Waltham Forest, because Southwark's set up differently. So Waltham Forest, we have two youth engagement teams under Street Base. So I'm going to try and do it really, like, easy. It gets confusing a little bit. So there's two groups, the Young Advisors and the Youth Independent Advisory Group, which is YIAG for short. The Young Advisors are part of the charity, and they've been proactive in the community. So the way to become a Young Advisor, you have to apply for the role, be shortlisted, interviewed, attend 2 days training, and then boom, you're a Young Advisor. However, the YIAGs, it's a referral process. So more often than not, actually, yes, all YIAGs all have lived experiences. So when I say lived experiences, these can be perpetrators or victims of crime, or both. Care leavers, young people in care, people that's been through child sexual exploitation, been groomed, gone out to country and come, anything that you can think of. And these are the young people I feel often are left to fall through the gaps. So like they're overlooked, they're not seen as the everyday young person that individuals may come across, which is why I feel as though their experiences are even more invaluable. So these two teens, 16 to 25 year olds, come under the Street Base program. Now, what Street Base does is we train up the Street Base teens in personal safety, as well as safeguarding, community outreach engagement, youth engagement, adolescent at-risk training, breakaway, conflict management and reduction, all of that stuff. And we go to hotspot areas of the borough. So when I say hotspot areas, it literally just means the popular areas that young people like to chill at. It could be outside McDonald's, it could be in a park, it could be in a block, wherever young people are, that's where we are. When we started out, the whole idea was to engage a young person, so speak to a young person and then signpost them or refer them onto a service. So if they tell me they're interested in basketball, then we'll let them know about all basketball workshops, tournaments, competitions, days, whatever happening in the borough. Or if they told me they were interested in law, we'll let them know about all mentorships, apprenticeships, work experiences, anything, again, anything under law happening in the borough. Very simple, very effective. And as we grew into our role, we realized that young people love a good conversation. And when they're speaking to professional young people, they get a little bit vulnerable sometimes, and they do offload a lot of information which needs a lot more support. And so that's when referrals to services such as Cuth, which is a mental health app, start to unravel. And that again became something that we wasn't expecting, but council officers, so different departments in our council, start to really value that. And then the pandemic hit. So that is the basics of street-based.
Wow. It definitely sounds like it is an amazing organization. And just everything that you were speaking about in terms of safeguarding, assisting young people, whether it be in sort of their interests or their well-being, whether it be their physical or mental well-being, it sort of makes me reflect on my time at NCS. I know that we were speaking previously before we actually recorded the episode. I did a bit of NCS and I remember how difficult it was sometimes that you don't really realize young people are going through some real adult stuff from early. I think for me, it was definitely a lot to undertake. So it definitely sounds like the training, that the help that you're providing the young advisors to really be able to tackle and deal with that and help young people is really essential, and it sounds like you're really doing some really good things out there in Waltham Forest.
Yeah, definitely. I feel as though it's working well, obviously because we're young people, one, we're from the borough, two, but we are young people with similar experiences as well. I feel as though if it was just all young people who are uni graduates, A-star, in school every single day, expecting to go to like Russell Group unis, it's not going to have the same effect at all. But if you see my team, like they're not one person is the same at all. Not one person has the same experience or anything. And it's interesting to note that our young people are still like not 100% ready, like, but they're close there. And I feel as though because of that realness, they're able to like strongly advise, especially the younger. So let's say a 19-year-old advising a 13, 14-year-old about the path they should be taking. Yeah. Because at 19, I was able to tell that 13, 14-year-old, like, look, I'm 5 years older than you, but the past that I had is still following me because I made one stupid move. And that is, again, invaluable. I can't tell you, like, we have so many examples where we weren't expecting to go into a certain situation, and it helps a young person in so many different ways. I think one, the very first one I can think of is with patrolling in one of the hotspot areas of Leytonstone. And I think it was, I can't remember if it was freezing or cold, or we decided to take a break. We ended up in McDonald's. And I remember I had my cup of tea, and the other team was getting their whatever little snacks. And there was just one girl sitting there by herself. And the boys were like, oh no, she looks intimidating. Like, she was like, light skinned girl, very pretty. She's like, no, I ain't going. She looks rude. I'm not going over there. So I thought,
like, you know, oh my, that takes you back to secondary school.
The boys are like, I ain't doing it, I ain't getting curved. So I was like, okay, fine. I'm like, cool, I'll go up, I'll do it. And she's just there on her phone, and she's on like one of those like bench type booth tables. So I literally just slid in, like when I say slid, I slid on right on that chair. I was like, oh yeah, hi, my name's Katie. What's she? What is that big girl energy? And the girl just looked up at me. I was like, oh, snap, I can see what the boys were saying now. And she was like, oh yeah, sorry, hi, my name's, let's say Sam. Da-da-da. And I was like, okay, well, I started going through the form about her interests, etc. And then after a while, like, she looks like, do you know when you're not bored, like you don't want to be in conversation, but you're just doing it to be polite?
Disinterested.
Yeah, she had that about her. So I was like, oh, it's okay. Like, I'm finished now. It's okay. It's like, it's calm. But she was really interested in hearing beauty and law. So I said, oh, is that right if I just quickly get your email? She's like, yeah, but it might be changed. My numbers might be changing, etc. I was like, that's okay. And then randomly, like, I don't know if it was because of the warmth or because, like, the gentle, like, whatever it was, she started telling me about her life. Like, she was sitting at McDonald's because she was just kicked out of her house. She's waiting for a brother to pick her up. But, like, they might send her, because she was only 15, they might send her to, like, a social care housing. All of that happened, and she told me reasons why she was kicked out of her house. I was like, wow, this 15-year-old girl needs help. And she wasn't even from the borough. Her brother lived in the borough, but she was from, like, Ilford Redbridge sides.
Wow.
Like, yeah, so we got into that conversation. So I took her number. I took her number down, and I was waiting for her brother to come collect her, which she did. And I spoke to her. I was calling her, like, almost every day, and would meet up, we'd have conversations. And not to really, like, to make sure she goes into that hair and beauty course that I signed up for. It's just to, like, support and check in.
Yeah.
Because for me, like, I was that first point of contact for her. Because the way I see it, if I didn't have that conversation for her, I don't know where she would have gone. Especially after she started speaking about her experiences and why she was, like, on the social care, etc. So, like, yeah. And it came to a point after, like, a couple months of engaging with her and just keeping, like, in contact with her, her social care worker, so she wasn't allowed out of the house unless she was going to school and back, and she decided to not go to school one time. Don't know why. It was the management of the house that she was living in called me randomly. I didn't know who this person was. It's like, oh, are you Katie? I was like, yeah. It's like, yeah, well, Sam's decided not to go into school. Can you please have a word with her because she really looks up to you? I was like, oh, mad. This girl was in school every single frigging day.
That's amazing. That's a testament to you.
Honestly, that was just, but at the same time, that's what Street Race is about. Like, it's not just about signposting young people or seeking out opportunities. It's supporting our young people and just being there, because we never know what young person we're going to come across, what experiences they're going to have, and how that one little word, are you okay, is going to help them.
I think one thing which really sort of resonated with me was when you were just talking about you being a young person speaking to another young person, like how you're saying that, like, you would go to places like the blocks, or you go to McDonald's, or go to a park, or just like a general location where you think young people would be, because you know where they'd be because you're also a young person. Say, for example, if you're in school and you had an issue, and the teacher tried to tell you how to solve that issue, a lot of the time, you wouldn't take it on board as much as if, say, for example, if your friends are giving you that same advice. It's because of the delivery, the person who's also given the information as well, and the relatability as well.
Exactly.
People are setting up, you know, or organizations, or whether it's initiatives, they fail to see the end user. Mm-hmm. And what the end user wants. I think they definitely see it from a certain viewpoint. And because of that, the whole trajectory is lost.
You're bang on. And I feel as though for many other, not just Waltham Forest, I think for many other boroughs as well, because when we've spoken at different events, etc., not every other borough has Street Base. So they start to clock on that you can't make a program, a project, a service without the young person's direct views and need. You can make a service that brings all young people into engineering, yeah, and you get paid like a 20-30k salary. If people don't want to go into engineering, you're not going to get them on your course. And I think that's exactly it. So when research is being done, it's looking at the gaps. Okay, cool. So what are we slacking in? Like schools when they get like the leaderboard results, okay, no, we're slacking in maths, we're going to do more maths homework, we're going to do more maths. But really, what is it about maths that young people aren't getting? Okay, maybe you should do more one-to-one sessions, maybe you should make it more interactive. Do you get it? So yeah. Looking at the more like overarching types of research and doing like little surveys, etc., maybe. But there's a huge difference when you go directly to the young people and a representative view of young people too, not just going to secondary schools and sixth forms. You get it? So that's a whole cohort being missed. because you're not going to people referral units, you're not going to autonomy provisions, you're not going to colleges, you're not going on to the blocks of the guys that can't be bothered to go to the PRUs. Like,
yeah,
so,
you're really missing a whole demographic of people.
You're missing it. And yeah. More time, these are the young people that need those services programmed.
I'm with you. Oh, amazing. I think it's kind of same. Just because I think I kind of want to carry along this trajectory. But if I don't get at this question, it's not going to happen until the end of the episode. this is more of an ice woman than an icebreaker. So listeners of the show will know I am the biggest fan of trainers. As you can see behind me, there's what I like to call the wall, soon to be the shelf. I'm a huge fan of trainers. One thing which I like to know and understand about people is about what they are rocking on their feet. I do understand that people are at home at the moment, so sometimes people might not have anything on their feet. So if there is a trainer, shoe, boot, anything that you would be rocking on your feet, what would it be?
You asked this question, it's such a key moment, because I said I was going to Asda earlier, but I stopped it off in JD. JD Woolman's though, but I don't know.
What's the purchase?
But no, hold it, because I had to think about this. JD in Wolverhampton has the biggest sale I think I've ever seen them do. The biggest sale. And I was so stuck. So I was going to go for the feeler rays, but they had it was like pink. I love the colour pink, by the way. So they had it's like pink, green, blue on the logos, and I had matching ones for my daughter. So I was like, oh my gosh, we could still be matching, but it didn't have a size. But okay, cool, that's for a reason. Then I had a beige one, so I was like, let me go for the beige one, but it didn't have my size. Basically, I don't care what brand, what make, what style it is, as long as it's loud colors, that's me. Apart from Jordan,
colors, even during winter.
What's that?
That's a season. That's Britain's favorite season.
Oh, during winter. I was like, what?
I don't know how to English anymore.
No, at work, like, I'm all colours. I'm known for wearing colours. Like, almost every day I'm wearing pink something. It's not pink bag, it's pink socks. So if not, pink trainers, like, or pink top. Pink and anything else, I can wear lilac, orange, red, anything with colour.
Okay, loud. I hear
loud,
it.
Loud, wear a baby, hot pink. I can mix it too.
Yeah, it's all right. Oh, don't worry, I've been in my Cameron bag as well for a little while as well, so...
Yeah, basically, any of your trainers, I'll wear them.
Okay. I like it. Excellent answer.
Hello, my name is Kamal and I'm 25 from North East London, Walthamstow, and I'm an actor, writer, and occasional social media commentator. In regards to young people creating social change, I definitely believe that young people can. I believe that platforms such as Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, if used correctly, can definitely create social change and have a positive impact in regards to how people feel or view young people. I also believe that the opportunity I've had to work with a local authority through the Young Advisors charity for Waltham Forest as a YIAG, enabling me to build on my confidence, enabling me to work and meet with different people in different fields of local government, also helped me to build my self-esteem and helped me to create social change within my local community. So more opportunities for young people being trained how to use social media platforms properly and self-esteem workshops, all of those things, I believe, will help young people create social change in the world that we exist in.
So we're going to swing over or back into the episode now, because you've kind of given us an overview of street base, why it's important. But I think now I really want to understand your motivation as a young person. I think definitely for me growing up, I've definitely thought that influence and change isn't something that I personally could have influenced. That I always thought that, you know, it's someone who's already in power, someone who's already got power, maybe it'd be a politician or someone who's generally associated to having power, so coming from, you know, where they typically have power. So I really want to understand from you why it was important for you to influence change as a young person, but specifically within your local community.
Same reasons as you, to be honest, but I'll start off. I started as a young advisor, so on the council payroll, like working with Waltham Forest to speak about what young people need when I was 12 years old. That I was 12 and when they came to my school in my assembly, they promoted the opportunity. And I'm proud of myself, not because I was 12, but because I was year 8 and none of my friends wanted to do it. It was like, oh, we're waiting for Govs, for why are you working for Govs? It's like, they were that. They were that group. But I didn't care. I was 12 years old. They said you're going to get paid £7 an hour and you're going to be like in a town hall. I'm not sure if you've seen Waltham Forest Town Hall, but it is grand. Like, fun fact, one of the scenes from The Crown, don't know what episode, don't know what series, don't ask me, is actually filmed in the town hall. Mm-hmm. This is like 3 years ago. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And plus I was a chatterbox. Like in school, sixth form, I'm known for talking. Like I would help the teachers in their classes. Like, honestly, I remember in sixth form, I decided to punish my sociology teacher. He really, really peed me off. Like, even to this day, he still pees me off. So I decided not to speak for the whole class. Anytime you ask a question, he would look at me. Mm-mm, not talking. No, sir, nothing. No. He suffered. So I was like, yeah, cool, good. So I was that person from year 8, year 7 times. But when I was talking, it was more like just like waffling, just chatting for the sake of chatting. But I realized I actually need to have a point. So I was very talkative, but I wasn't articulate, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And I wanted my talks to go to use. And so that's why I joined Young Advisors. So that kickstarted everything.
Sorry to cut you off, but you said you wanted to do something for the youth, young people. Why exactly?
Because that's not why I didn't get the same opportunities. Not everyone's going to have that same opportunity. And if you look at it now, I'm 24 years old now. Although I started at 12 years old, I really got into it, like proper proactive. I'm known in the borough for helping young people and really being an advocate for young people and young parents when I was about 21. And the reason why I was like, okay, cool, I really need to start getting onto it more, because there wasn't anybody who was able to speak for young people, not even for, on behalf of young people, the way I was able to. And it's not even the fact that I wasn't able to speak, there wasn't considering the young people the way I was able to.
Okay.
And especially if you look at it now, I'm 24 years old, I tick, apart from one box, almost every box that's on the side of controversy or disadvantage. I'm a young, black, female, single mom. The only thing that's off the board is that I'm not part of the LGBT plus community. That's it. Other than, that tends to be the groups that that professionals look at and was like, right, we need to do something here, but I don't know what. And I decided to tell them the what. And I feel as though that is something that it's invaluable, because not many people use their experiences or these disadvantages as opportunities. And I feel as though that's what I've done. And I feel as though that's exactly what more young people need to do, because it's a game. It's a gold mine. Young, like people, professionals, staff, services, they want to know what to do for you, but they don't know how, because you guys aren't telling them. And if you don't tell them, they'll decide something for you. It'll be a waste of money. It'll be a waste of time and a waste of space in your area where they're building car parks instead of parks.
Mm.
So that's exactly what made me think, all right, cool. I've got something here. I'm brave enough to speak on it. And I think that's something else that some people might have a level of embarrassment about, where they came from, who they are as well. And I don't hold, I'm shameless, okay? I have no shame whatsoever. So I'll tell you. So that's exactly why I wanted to really be up in my youth engagement, because at the same time, if I don't do it, who the blimey neck will?
That's an amazing attitude. I absolutely love that. I think definitely, you definitely seem to have really, really strong motivations for doing what it is that you do. I actually didn't, well, I know that you were a mum because you mentioned your daughter, getting trainers for your daughter.
Oh, yeah.
but I didn't know that you got involved in politics from when you was 12 years old. That must have been an amazing experience in terms of the level of technical skills that you gained, but also, you know, the social skills as well. Being a young person in a room and interacting with adults, gaining the craft of being able to speak with people, but also understand legislation. How was that in building your career?
That was, I'll tell you a pivotal moment, is I think I was 13 by this time, and it was, so with young advisors, we're mainly around our councillors and MPs. And so one of my first like jobs, I remember I was panicking, oh my gosh. We had to speak to our councillors. There's 60 councillors, but in that room, I think only like 40 could fit in the room. And we had to tell them what was wrong with the borough and what the young people want. And there was like 10 young advisors at the time. So I figured they're not going to be able to sit through like 10, like 5 minute speeches. Like it's going to be a bore for them. They're not going to listen to you because bearing in mind, I'm only 13. So I'm just seeing these like old people to listen to young people. And it's not a norm for them. So yeah. It's like, I don't want them to be turned off, like only 2 speeches in. So my bright idea was to make a poem.
Okay.
And at the time, I loved poems. I love writing poems, but obviously, like, I'm only a 13-year-old, so I was like, oh, I'm going to be cute. I'm going to be cool. And I read out my poem to them. It was cringe and cheesy, like, thinking back on it, and especially when I was delivering it, I was like, yeah, this is some cheese fest. But it caught their attention. And I noticed at that moment, it's going to sound like a big secret, but young people don't have to do anything spectacular. You just have to do something they're not expecting to get their credit and respect. And that's, I was like, okay, cool, that worked. That was lightweight. Okay, cool, I'm gonna do that. So I started getting into and creative ways of delivering my aims and goals. So instead of just saying, oh yeah, you should be doing this, that and the other because young people in my area want it, it was like we were saying earlier, it's about your delivery, like how you package it. And I learned a lot about the whole socializing and networking thing as well. Of course, my own personal experience about, because at the time I did want to go into law, so I had loads of work experience in law. I learned a little bit there as well. But it's about how and when to speak to certain individuals as well. And the key thing is about making a lasting impact. So it's about the follow-up as well, not just having a really good conversation with the MP and then tomorrow it's just dead. No, you've got to keep that relationship going. So yeah. I learned that, very key young advisors. But in terms of politics, I started to get a lot more active when I was 20, 21. I remember my daughter was born. So I remember she was at that event. And that event, again, I was working as a young advisor. And the council has a program called Life Chances. And it's literally about increasing the life chances of young people. And one of these events was a Life Chances event. And it was getting young people to become a counsellor. So... and to get to know their counsellors, because again, not many people know about counsellors, what they are, who, what they're there for, etc. And so they asked me to help at the event. I had 2 counsellors there, Councillor Grace Williams, and another counsellor who I cannot remember at all, but I remember those 2 counsellors. And there was a room full of secondary school students, some from like standard secondary schools or academies, others were from pupil referral units as well. It was like a 2-hour, almost 3-hour workshop. I might be lying about 3 hours. Maybe it was definitely a 2-hour workshop. And they spoke about their role, you know, how many hours it is, what you can do as a counsellor, what you can't do, the ins and outs, where they get the inspiration from. And then at the end, Councillor Grace Williams was like, so who wants to be a counsellor? And it was
$1 million question.
Yeah, there was one guy, the chatty guy throughout the whole thing was like, yeah, I will. But everyone else is like, nah, dead. obviously I had to go around because I was like basically hosting the event. So I went around asking, you know, like, why don't you want to become a counsellor? They did an amazing pitch, like, you can have your own job. Because the main thing about counsellors is that it's almost like a part-time role, so you can still pursue your own career, whether it's in law, engineering, whatever it is, you can have your main job and be a counsellor on the side.
Yeah.
So I was trying to pitch that to them, and I was like, there's no one like me in, like, as a counsellor. There's no, there's 60 counsellors, there's no one that looks like me. There's no one that's from the same background as me. So I was like, can't argue with that. Just can't argue with that. So I was like, yeah, that's very key. So Councillor Grace and I, I debriefed that with Councillor Grace, and she was like, yeah, I understand where the young people are coming from. And she's like, but that's why we need more events like this, to get more young people on the boards, more of a representation. And right there and then I was like, yeah, cool, I'm gonna become a councillor. That's what I'm gonna do. That was like 3 years ago now, and I've just been working up towards it ever since.
Now that's amazing. That's amazing. I think one thing for me, that I sort of recognize within that story is like when you have like old people trying to gear you up to do something, and they're just looking around and no one's saying nothing. You might want to do it a little bit, but. Like just because no one else is saying nothing, you don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I think what is great about you is that you have I don't care, I want to do it attitude anyway. Mm. So you'll be resolute in what you're doing. And I think often at times, you know, we sort of think this diversity thing is a card, but it's not a card because it's reality. The level of diversity within some of these spaces is very, very sparse. There's not a lot of people who look like me and you within those spaces, and that's why it's important to have people like that within those spaces, because when there is a conversation of a park being not a park, let's say a block of flats, mm-hmm. being erected, but we know that that part of that area has a cultural standing within that community. Mm-hmm. So you would understand that area, you wouldn't want to build within there. So mm-hmm. you would raise your voice and raise that concern. Whereas if there was no one within that room, there'll be no one to raise that concern. So that would go on ahead and it would steamroll. So I think it is so important that you are within the role that you're in and you're doing what you're doing.
I do think young people can impact social change because they're the next generation coming up, and the people that are running the country eventually will be some of the young people that we're raising in today's generation. So I feel like the voices should be heard, and I feel like their voices are valid. They're growing up in a modern society that people may be unfamiliar with at the time. So if there's anyone that can truly explain the depths of what it means to live in this country as a young person, it is young people. And I do think that their views and opinions could have a huge impact on the progression of the way the country's going.
And now I've got my last question for you, which is just surrounding just social change in general. We've definitely sort of touched upon how you've impacted social change through street base, but also your involvement within your local council. But I think quite clearly, for anyone listening, that you seem to be a very bubbly, very fun and very sort of determined person. I definitely get resolute vibes from you. But, you know, not every young person is built the same. So you can definitely have similar issues with other young people within your area, or have, you know, just like quite unique and bespoke things that you're quite interested in. So if you want to influence change or make a difference within your local area or improve things for other young people, where could a starting point be for a young person within Wolford Forest?
I would say your friends. Friends is the number one go-to. I would say don't underestimate how supportive a good friend can be. One example actually is, so during coronavirus, the lockdown time, so street base, patrols were seen as key workers at the council. Obviously, it took a little while for the council to be okay with us going out, but they want to know how the young people were doing. And more so if they're getting the messaging as well. Do you know how Boris did like everyday news? Not every young person was following that. So yeah, we had to
look like a scarecrow.
Literally.
Not him.
So when we were going out and speaking to young people, this was also actually key to note just after the murder of George Floyd. So on top of that, we want to see how, if the young people was traumatised, because obviously they would have seen the video and that whole uproar about Black Lives Matter, the protesting, etc. So we was asking young people about their views and if they've been impacted in any way around that. And one of the young, it was a young girl I was speaking to actually, and was asking her the Black Lives Matter question, you know, have you been impacted by the killing of George Floyd or the Black Lives Matter protests? And she was like, yeah, I have been actually. Like, I had to drop 5 of my friends because they didn't understand it at all. And I was like, interesting. So she went on to explain the story, and she was like, from that, she has made a podcast speaking about why Black Lives Matter is an important movement. And then explaining the whole thing that it's not a racist thing, it's not neglecting all lives matter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So chill with that. And she said she started that podcast, one, because her friends didn't understand, but also because she wanted to educate her friends more rather. And so that's why I say your friends is a good starting point, because you're able to support, educate, and really uplift your friends in ways that, you know, is very underestimated in how powerful it can be. And that was a small thing. I say it's a small thing, but it's not like a grand thing that like you're going to get all young people to vote by the age, by the time of like 2026, and we're going to have bloody, who was that YouTuber that wanted to be Mayor of London? We're going to have him Mayor of London.
Oh, Milana.
Whoever. It doesn't have to be big grand. It starts off small and it starts off with your peoples. Yeah. Definitely.
Amazing answer. I think definitely when I asked that question, I think I was sort of more looking within your local borough, sort of like your level, like sort of councillor level. But when you actually sort of think about it, influence and change comes in all shapes and forms. Mm-hmm. I think that the quite obvious form is to email in to your council, or to email to councillors such as you or Grace Williams. But I think also, you can't underestimate the influence of person to person, and then how that also transfers as well.
Something that young people shouldn't neglect to understand is that, especially, it doesn't matter what borough you're in, but councillors or MPs, those people who are making decisions on the residents' behalf, they are listening, they are watching, they do see exactly what we see. And it's difficult. You can't ignore something that's huge.
Yep.
And they often tend to put that across in their newsletters, in their speeches, whatever it may be. And mm-hmm. it's not because somebody emailed them directly. It's because they're seeing the social media posts. They're seeing what's going around in schools. They're seeing like hundreds of people in the parks holding plaques because they're not happy with this, that, and the other. So again, it's not always a traditional route of emailing an angry email, whatever it may be, like outlining, doing your research. No, they know. The more time they do know, and they will act on it. It just has to be strong and powerful enough to address. Because you need to bear in mind, MPs, trust me, someone told me this. One of the MPs had an email about, it was from, I want to say Karen. Karen. Basically,
what did the Karen say? Go on, preach.
Was complaining about the amount of birds in the park.
What?
Like, genuinely, she had an issue because there were so many birds in the bloody park. And so MPs are getting emails like that. Okay, so that's what us as young people need to understand. If they're getting so many left-right emails that some are very important, some are minuscule, we need to think of more of a creative, more powerful way to get their attention. That's that.
aside from that questionable email, I definitely do agree with you. I think yes, the traditional route is important, because to influence change on sort of local or national level, you do have to get involved. You do have to go to the council meetings. You do have to go and vote, because ultimately that's how, you know, change is impacted, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
Generically. But also you have to not underestimate the impact of using your voice as well. And the impact of social change, or raising your voice and other people amplifying your voice, and mm-hmm. that creating a movement. As we've seen, like the uproar from you know, Black Lives Matter protests and stuff like that, really made a lot of businesses and a lot of people within the UK also consider their colonial past, and also how Black people feel they're viewed within the UK, how the experiences that Black people go through, the fact that it resonated so far along the ocean, that the fact that it managed to transfer over here and people to really resonate with that. I think it really goes to show how much of the Black experience is quite similar, regardless of where you go within the world.
And I'm glad you raised that point, actually, because again, when I was at an event not too long ago, sorry, and I was speaking about like young people getting involved in politics, I was like, young people are actively involved in politics and you don't even know it.
Oh.
And I use the Black Lives Matter protest as an example, because it wasn't just young Black people, it was across the board and their aunties coming. So it's like, young people, when they feel powerful enough, because there is power in numbers,
yeah,
and when it's something that really hits home and you visualize that could be me, bro, like that's when we get off our asses and we fight, not physically, but you get it. So
in spirit, I'm with you, and I'm also with the aunties at a protest with their dad's pot in hand.
Young people can be politically engaged, but as we were saying in the very beginning, it's all about how it's presented to them.
If you've made it here, then you've just finished Season 2, Episode 6 of Tea and Waffles, A Guide to 2021. Powered by Transmission Roundhouse, featuring Katie Thompson, a councillor from Waltham Forest. Please make sure, if you've enjoyed this episode, to check us out on all social media platforms at Tea and Waffles Pod and join in the conversation. Finally, make sure to stay tuned for more topics, more amazing guests, and more importantly, more waffle.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.